Well, are you ready for the word this morning? I want you to turn to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. And we're going to go there, and then we're going to go to Psalm 148. So you can kind of look up both of them if you want. But Psalm chapter 22, I want to give you a few minutes to, just a few moments to find that. Last week we began to talk about praise, and I want to continue that this morning. In Psalm 22, if you would read the whole Psalm of 22, it is a perfect description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And we're not dealing on that, but I want you to be aware that this is a situation that it's put into, written, and many people see this as a psalm of the crucifixion written 1,000 years before Christ. That's a long time. And it is true in so many aspects of what occurred during the crucifixion. And in the middle of that, I want you to read, let's start with verse 1, since I've said what I said. We'll start in verse 1. He says, and this is a cry of the Messiah on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Now, a lot of times that sounds like us. You know, it sounds like we're going through a hard time, we're going through a tough situation, and we're crying out to God, and it just seems like the heavens are what they call brass, meaning everything just comes right back to us, and God isn't paying a bit of attention at all. But verse 3, he says, but you are holy. He's not bringing anything against God. He just said, I'm not seeming to have a response that I really want, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Now he's saying this is the history, and essentially he's saying, but I'm going to trust you too. Even though he goes on and talks about the pain and the suffering and the crucifixion, we're not going to get into, but he knows God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. Now, the King James Version, we're probably more familiar with it. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. I want to look at that. God inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, with that in mind, go to Psalm 148. Psalm 148. And I want to look in verses 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Wow, God is so great. His glory is above the earth. His glory is above the heavens. We look at the universe and the stars and we go, wow, this is just wild to think that God created all these things. And it says, however impressed you are with that, his glory is even higher. His glory is even greater than the heavens, greater than all these things. His name alone is exalted. His name is the glory of God. His name is all these things that God has created, but his name is above all these other things. And then in verse 14 says, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him, praise the Lord. Now, I want to lift up out of this, he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. Now, horn implies power. Horn implies strength. It is used often in the Old Testament, you know, of when Israel is exerting its power or another nation is exerting its power, it's referred to as the horn of that country, the power, the strength, because horns were seen to have power and strength at that time, because one of the strongest things they had were bulls. And when a bull charged you, you just got out of the way. You didn't have a red cape and play games with him. You ran. You got out of that area because this thing could, if he didn't gore you with the horn, he'll run you down and trample you with his hooves. I mean, this is a mighty animal that they had to deal with. He says, but the horn implies his power and strength. But the horn, if you read 14, he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints. What is the horn of Israel? The horn is the praise of his people, the saints. And we've looked at saints lately. It means holy, sanctified, set apart. So be holy even as I am holy. So when he calls you the saints, he's saying you're holy. You're separated unto God. This isn't just anybody. This is the holy people. This is the praise of the people holy to God is the horn of strength for the people of Israel. Now, last week we looked at Psalm 8:2. Well, let me say this first. The word praise there, where it says the praise, the horn is the praise of all his saints. The word there is tehillah, not tequila, tehillah. And that word means a public praise, a praise song, or a hymn. He says this public praise, this public act of worship is the strength of the saints. Now go with me to Psalm 8:2. It says, out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained or laid a foundation of strength because of your enemies that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. That's what we looked at last week. Jesus interpreted this in Matthew 21:16. He said, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise. So Jesus is equating the strength, the foundation of strength, with the perfection of praise in the mouth of babes and nursing infants. And we talked about how nursing infants and babes are children that haven't learned to walk, haven't learned to talk yet, and God is laying and establishing a foundation in them of praise. Now when you think about that, a baby looking up at you, they can't talk, but they grin. I know the doctors say it's just gas. I understand that. But they grin and they smile and their eyes will track you in a shorter period of time than what doctors say they can see, but they're seeing something. And they look at you and they coo and they ooh, and we go, oh, aren't they so sweet? And it's so precious and it's absolutely wonderful with newborn babies. God is perfecting praise. That child is looking at you as a mother and father, and they've already made a connection, and they're already bonding, and every time you walk into the room, ooh, I'm so happy you're here. Ooh, pick me up and hold me. Ooh, love me, love me. You are so wonderful. Oh, your flesh is so warm. Oh, I love the smell of your clothes about you. What are they? That babe is praising you as we are to praise God. It should be an instinctive thing to a born-again believer to praise God. If God is perfecting it in nursing, in infants and nursing babes, then he's perfecting it in us, his children, his saints who are born again. Amen. Now, what I want to say about that is this. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Praise is, in Psalm 148, praise is the horn of God. Praise, and that word praise is tehillah, public praise, a praise song or a hymn. Praise was never intended to be silent. It was never intended. I mean, when a baby wants attention, they don't go, you know, they don't just open their mouth and nothing comes out. When a baby wants attention, it yells. I mean, you can hear that kid two blocks away, and you got the air conditioner on, the lawnmower running, and the doors and windows closed, and they can hear it two blocks away. And everybody said, what on earth? And if no other reason, you will pay attention to that baby because you don't want everybody to think you're just a bad parent and ignoring them. Amen? Okay. So praise was never intended to be silent. It was never, and yet so many people, I have a silent praise. No, you don't. You don't have a praise. Because you're silent. And praise was not meant to be silent. Well, Gordon, how can you say? Well, it says here, the horn of his people is the praise of all his saints, is the tehillah, is the public song, the public worship that we give unto God. This is the praise. This is the horn of Israel. These are the things that God appreciates, that God is trying to perfect in us. Amen? So if a bear is charging you, you're going to shout. If the enemy is coming at you, you're not going to say, oh, I wish that bear would go away because it's really frightening and it's big and it has claws and it's growling at me and it's snarling. Oh, bear, please go away. You're not going to say that. You are going to shout. You are going to throw your arms up in the air. You are going to scream. I mean, you are going to, I'm bear, it's me or you. You are bigger than me, but I'm going to make such a noise, you're going to run in terror. And a lot of times what happens is if you'll do that, the bears will run. Now, I'm not saying go out and try that, but I'm just saying there are stories of people that have screamed at bears that were charging them, and the bear turned around and ran away because they saw you're not going to move. One of the worst things, if you ever have a cat, you understand this. One of the worst things you can do with an animal that's chasing you is to run because they know they've got you. Now, I've had a couple instances with dogs that the owner said, you know, if you're ever here without me and that dog's here, don't get out of the car because that dog is vicious, it is mean, it will attack you. And one time I was up at a man's house and he wasn't home, and I realized I haven't seen the dog yet. And this isn't good. And I'm in an enclosed porch with one open doorway. I'm thinking, okay, that dog is probably around here someplace, but I haven't seen it. I turned around, and here in the corner that I had to pass to get to the door was this dog in his box. And the dog started growling. I thought, oh, Lord. I thought two things. One, if I run, the dog is going to nail me because I can't outrun him. He knows the territory. Second thing, I've got to get to the car, open the door, and get in. And he'll probably be in the seat waiting for me if I do that. So running is not an option. So I can stand here until the owner comes home. That is really not an option for me. The third is to use the name of Jesus. By this time, the dog's crawling out of the box. He doesn't know what to do with me because most people run. I hadn't moved yet. I'm just looking at the dog. And I just started commanding that dog. I pointed at him. Sometimes you got to point at the devil. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you get back in that box and shut up. And he's just growling at me. He's about all the way out of the box. Now I said, in the name of Jesus, you get in that box and you sit down and you do not move out of that box. He started backing up. In the name of Jesus, I command you, you get back in that box and you sit down and you do not move. He got back in the box, sat down, still growling. I walk out the door. The dog never followed me even to the door. You know, sometimes when the enemy shows up, we run. No, when the Bible says when the enemy shows up, we should face him, defeat him in the name of Jesus, and he runs. That's the way it's supposed to operate. We don't run. He does. We have God on our side, and he has God against him. Yes. And that's like 14 billion to one. I mean, you know, we got the victory. Amen. We've got God on our side, and who is greater than he? See, if a bear attacks you, if an enemy comes against you, you are not going to be silent. You are going to shout. You're going to do something. And Yahweh has established a foundation of praise in order to silence and to stop the enemy that is coming against you. And if you don't understand that, you'll never praise God. Well, why should I praise God? It's just, you know, this church thing that everybody does. No, if you understand that the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and you realize that praise is meant to shut him up, get him back in his little box, and not bother you, you're going to praise God. It makes it a whole lot easier. It changes your whole perspective on praise of being a nice little churchy thing and being a situation of life or death. And I can give you several examples of that personally. In Psalm 148, and I like this, the very last line says, praise the Lord. Now, there's about 10 to a dozen different words in Hebrew that we interpret as praise, and all of them are a little bit distinctive, but I like this word that in Hebrew of praise the Lord. It literally is Hallel. It's interpreted 117 times as praise, 14 times as glory, 10 times as boast. I like that. 8 times it's interpreted mad, as in crazy, insane, should be committed. It's interpreted three times as shine. I think that's an interesting word, shine. It's interpreted five times as foolish, twice as commended, twice as rage, and once to celebrate, once to give, once to marriage. I think that's curious, but we're supposed to be married to the Lord, amen? So that's not too bad. And finally, it's interpreted once as renowned. The interpretation that I like that I've seen in several textbooks that I like the most is to be clamorously foolish. Hallel Yahweh. Be clamorously foolish to Yahweh. I like that. I just enjoy that. I like this word. The different meanings of literal, actual Hebrew meanings is to shine, to flash forth light, to praise, to boast, to make a fool of, to make into a fool, to act madly like a madman. And this is an interesting word. Now, the word Tehillah, the quiet, or I shouldn't say quiet praise, but the public song, the hymn, the laudation unto God, the praise song, the public praise, is used 60 times in the Old Testament. The word Hallel is used 167 times in the Old Testament. Hallel is the root word for hallelujah. When you say hallelujah, you're saying, let's all get clamorously foolish. Let's all say it together. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you just need to get worked up a little bit. You need to get a little bit of enthusiasm on the inside of us. Amen. And that type of hallel is not something that's pre-planned. Hallel is something that just kind of overtakes you. It's that when you got an MRI in your hand showing a crushed ankle and the doctor says it's healed, that's a hallelujah time. That's not the time to sit down and write a hymn and ponder it and work out the music for it. That's just the time you get a little bit clamorously foolish. And you don't care what the doctors think. You don't care what the techs think. Why? I just got a crushed ankle back, whole, complete. I'm just going to celebrate that. And you can just wait till I get back in my sanity and I'll come back and deal with you in a few minutes. But right now I'm just going to hallel a little bit. Just a teensy little bit. I didn't plan this, but I can't help myself. I'm just going to hallelujah the Lord. Amen? So those are times like that. But it's interesting to me that Yahweh inhabits not the Hallel, but the Tehillah. Now, hallelujah, spontaneous praise is wonderful. It's really, really great. But, you know, there's times you need to just learn to praise God without any special reason at all, without any great miracle or sign or wonder. You know, when it's spontaneous, you don't have to think about it. It's just there. Ooh, thank you, Lord. But what in the hard times when things aren't looking right? You know, are you going to praise the Lord? Well, you know, things aren't going good right now, and I don't know if I really can. But God inhabits the Tehillah of His people. He inhabits the praises. He inhabits our hymns. He inhabits our praise songs. He inhabits our praise. Planned praise. Predicted praise. Not just singing a song, but praise. A heartfelt feeling of praise, thanksgiving unto God. You know, spontaneity is wonderful, but God wants us to choose to praise Him. He wants us to make it an integral part of our life, a foundation for all the trouble that is going to hit us sometime sooner or later. But you've got to have that foundation, because if you don't have that foundation, when trouble comes, you're just going to throw up your hands and say, well, what can we do anyway? And the enemy is just going to tackle you and tear you to pieces because you're busy running from Him instead of standing your ground and doing the thing that you ought to do. Amen. Now, and I'll just read these to you. You can turn to them if you want. But Psalm 9:1 says, I will praise His name, or I will praise you, O Yahweh. With my whole heart I will tell of all your marvelous works. Now, the word praise there is a different word. It's yada. And yada means to throw out your hands, to confess His name, and is connected with the word Hallel. But this is a planned Hallel. It's like, okay, I'm gonna praise you, God. I'm gonna throw out my hands. That's why the Bible says, lift up holy hands to the Lord. I'm gonna throw out my hands and I'm gonna shout to the Lord. I'm gonna confess his name, and I'm gonna just be a little bit clamorously foolish along with it. Just throw in a little bit, you know, just throw in a little bit of nutmeg, just throw in a little bit of salt. I'm just gonna throw in a little bit of spontaneity here in the midst of it all. I'm gonna sing the song, I'm gonna do the thing, I'm gonna praise your name, but I'm just gonna be a little bit spontaneous with it too. I'm gonna worship with the songs, but at the same time, I'm just gonna add a little bit of my spice to it. And I'm not going to care what other people think. I'm just going to add my spice. Lord, I thank you for being good to me. I thank you, God, your mercy endures forever. I thank you, God, for all these things, God, that you caused to work for my benefit. I'm not going to turn to my neighbor and say, well, what good thing has God done for you that I can magnify him for? I'm just going to use my life, my experience, what God has done for me, and I'm going to magnify the Lord out of my own soul, out of my own choice, out of my own will. So I will praise you, Yahweh, with my whole heart. Not a little bit, not a piece of it, but with my whole heart, I will tell of all your marvelous works. That means I've got to be involved in this. I forget where it is now, but there's a scripture that talks about that we need to worship God with our spirit, soul, and body, with our whole person. And a lot of times we'll come to church and we can worship God out of our spirit, you know, but our mind isn't involved in it. We can worship God in our flesh. We can sing the songs. We can even dance a little bit, but our soul isn't in it, or our spirit really isn't in it. We're just kind of, well, this is a time of activity when we do it, you know, but we're not all there. I mean, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes, particularly on Sunday evening church, when because we don't eat before we come to church because it kind of dulls your senses a little bit. So we just don't because we're preparing to minister and things, and that's food and nourishment itself. But after church, we like to snack. So sometimes on Sunday night, I'm praising the Lord, and I'm worshiping, and I'm trying to do it with all my heart. I'm not trying to fake or anything like that, but I can sense the smell of popcorn in the air. And it's not God. And when that begins to happen, I realize I'm not wholly committed with my whole heart to praise God. So I've got to make an adjustment. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry about thinking about popcorn. I know that's at least an hour and a half away. I can wait an hour and a half to think about popcorn. But right now, God, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to focus on you, God. Have you ever had that happen? Well, you're to give them your whole heart. So when those things happen, don't get mad at yourself. Say, darn that popcorn. I'll never eat popcorn again in my life. No, popcorn's for later. Praise is for now. Just get them in the right priority. Amen? Now, if you go back to Psalm 22, verse 26, it says, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise Yahweh. Those who seek him will praise Yahweh. Now, what is the word for praise there? Again, it's my favorite word for praise. It's Hallel. Those who seek him will Hallel Yahweh. So are you seeking him?
Yes, Lord, I'm seeking after you, Lord.
When you see your newborn child, you may not bounce off the walls. Hallel is different for different people. I understand that. But while you're there and somebody walks up to you and says, is that your child? You don't just have no committal at all. I mean, they can probably tell by the way you're standing there, you know, that's your child. You know, they can probably get that understanding because there's a little bit of Hallel going on. There's a little bit of spontaneity going on. Now, who's this kid over here? That's mine. He's the best one in the bunch. Look, he's already got hair growing on him. And look, he's making a fist. I mean, this kid's going to be strong. I mean, you just kind of naturally boast about it, and you're not normally that type of person. But it's my kid. Back off. You know, I'm going to just brag on my child a little bit. You're just getting a little bit Hallel. And afterwards, you say, oh, maybe I went too far, but I really like that kid. You know, I mean, he looks just like me, and he walks like me, and he thinks a lot like me. He's a pretty good kid. Well, go ahead and hallel a little bit. Just get a little bit of spontaneity in the praise of your children. Amen? It's okay. It's okay. But he said, I love this. Those who seek him, seek Yahweh, will praise Yahweh. So here we find out praise is a way of seeking him. Well, I don't feel like praising today, but I'm going to praise anyway. Why? Because I am seeking him. I am seeking his face. I am seeking his hand. I am seeking his blessing, but I'm seeking him. So I'm just going to be a little bit clamorously foolish. Excuse me for a minute. This isn't for you. This isn't about you. This is about me. I'm going to be clamorously foolish. If you don't like it, close your eyes. You know, turn your head for a little bit, because I'm just going to get a little bit, I'm going to get a little bit clamorously foolish. And some people's clamorously foolish makes me embarrassed. But then I realize they're with God, and I'm not going to complain about it. Their ways are a little bit different than my ways. That's okay. We're getting ready to go to Haiti. Their ways are a little bit different than our ways. I mean, they'll sit there, and when they say praise the Lord, all their hands go up, and they start praising the Lord, and they stand up. And they're singing the songs, and they're clapping a little bit and everything, a little bit more than what we do. Their little bit in Haiti is a lot more than what we do. But they're clapping. And then all of a sudden, dance breaks out. And I mean, they go for it. I mean, just about everybody. If you're not up front dancing, you're in your pew, and you're just being a little bit clamorously foolish. And they're just having a good old time with it. I remember one of the meetings we went to, I'll never forget, it was the open air meeting. I saw the glory of God there cover the crowd in an open air meeting, and the wind blowing through strong, and the cloud remained right over the people, and it stopped at the edge of the people. That was the second time I've seen the glory of God like that. And this one old guy came up, and I'm dancing a little bit, and he came up and looked at me. So we're just doing a kind of a dance off with each other, you know, just having a good time, everything. And the guy just beat me into the ground. Because this 60-something, I was 50, young 50 back then. And he's dancing real strong. And so, but we were just being clamorously foolish.
Well, I just believe that dancing like that before the Lord is a little bit contrary to Scripture.
Okay, I don't care. We weren't dancing for you. You didn't pay us. Amen? I mean, if you don't like to it, there's a dead church down the road. You can go down there, and you can worship with spontaneity all you want. I remember one of the first sermons I ever gave. Oh, golly. We're in church, and I'm preaching. I'm going off my notes. I'm preaching. I'm making some good points. All of a sudden, amen. Stopped and looked around. Who said that? Everybody in the church is looking around. Who said that? So nobody raised up their hands. So I go back to preaching. A few minutes later, amen. I stopped again. Who said that? You know? And then I realized we have a visitor in church. He didn't know we weren't spontaneous then. He was an outsider. But I'm a stranger and a foreigner in this world. Amen? So if I bring a little bit of heaven with me and I get a little bit excited and I just hallel a little bit and I hallelujah a little bit and I just say, well, praise the Lord, I'm just bringing a little touch of heaven with me into a dead, dying, dreary place. Jesus, they said one of the things about Jesus, that they hated him because of the zeal that he had for the house of God. He got a little bit excited. I can see Jesus getting ready to heal somebody. He said, well, they're going to love this, Dad. You know, we're going to do this right in front of them all. He said, boy, will they really be amazed, because there's hardly any faith in this place at all. And boy, when they see this, man, they're going to stand up and take notice, Dad. Man, oh, God, you are such a good God. And do you think Jesus, oh, we have to heal another one today? I mean, can you imagine that? David said, I rejoice when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Not, is it that time already? There's spontaneity we need to have. Amen. Okay, moving on. Psalm 111 verse 1 says, praise Yahweh. I will praise Yahweh with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Now, there's two words, different words there for praise. One is Hallel. I like that. We've already talked about that. And then he says, I will Hallel Yahweh. I will Yadeh Yahweh. Outstretched hands. So you can be clamorously foolish. Now, this is, if you're not coordinated, this can be quite difficult. But you can be clamorously foolish, meaning you can dance a little bit, you can move around a little bit, and still have your hands up in the air. Now, I know for some people that's a test. And I know some of us, we have a hard time clapping our hands to the beat of the music. So dancing with your hands up can really push some of us over the brink. I understand that, but yet he says, I will do these things because I'm not concerned about what people are thinking. I'm concerned that I'm seeking after God, and if you don't like it, maybe you've either already found God or maybe you need to learn how to seek after him with your whole heart. See, Yahweh inhabits the praises of Israel. To inhabit means to dwell, to remain, to sit, or to abide. The New King James says, but you are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now, let me give a couple examples. My time's running short here, but let me give you a couple examples. We've experienced this in this church. Years ago, I was up here in the front and just worshiping the Lord during praise and worship, and I felt someone brush up against me, because I usually worship with my eyes closed, because I don't want to see you. I want to see the Lord, amen? I'm looking for him. Now, you don't have to have your eyes closed for that, but most of the time I find out I'm worshiping with my eyes closed. And we're singing. I felt someone brush up against me, so I opened my eyes to see who it was, and no one was there. But I saw an angel standing beside me. And I just kind of leaned out a little ways, and the angels were standing all the way down to the wall and all the way over here against the wall. And they were just praising the Lord right with us. And I asked the one standing next to me, I said, why are you here? He says, we were coming back from an assignment for the night, and we were passing by and we heard the praise and worship. We thought we'd just stop in and join you for a while. I thought, wow, isn't that cool? We had one man during praise and worship that he was back there, he was crying and he was sitting alone. And he felt someone come and sit down next to him. He told me, he says, Gordon, I felt the pew, the cushion, bend from the weight of the person who sat next to me. He says, they put their arm around my shoulder. And he said, I didn't look because he was all distraught. And he's crying and everything. And he said, it felt so good, so comforting, so reassuring. He said, I really felt peace. And then he said, after a few minutes, the person got up. He said, I opened my eyes and no one was there. He says, I believe it was Jesus. Came and literally sat down next to me and put his arm around me. The one that I really, really enjoy the best, and it's one of my favorite stories, and it's one that just stuns me because I have to embarrass myself to tell it. But we were in worship one Sunday morning, and it was really intense worship. And we had a woman that had just been diagnosed with lupus, and it was the terminal kind of lupus. She had tested positive, I think, in 11 out of 13 of the symptoms for lupus, and they told her there's nothing we can do with it. I mean, this is the deadly kind. People don't recover from this type of lupus. And we're in praise and worship, and the church knew about this. We're in praise and worship, and God says, I want you to point at her and tell her she's healed. I said, uh-uh. I ain't doing that. What if I'm wrong? He says, I want you to point at her and tell her she's healed and it'll never come back on her. Not me, Lord. You find somebody else, Lord. I'll just say a prayer for her, Lord. You know, quiet one to myself. He says, I told you to point your finger at her and tell her she's healed and it'll never come back on her. Oh, Jesus. So I close my eyes. See, I'm really spiritual here. I'm full of faith, I'm telling you. I pointed at her and said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed, and it will never come back on you. Well, she just broke and wept. And the church goes wild. I'm going, oh God, I hope this works. You know, she went to the doctor, came back about a week later. All the tests were good. It was totally gone. She had all the previous test results, but they had totally changed, and she was healed. And last time I've heard, it still hasn't come back on her. Been years, perfectly healed. Now, why do these things happen? Well, you can't just plan them, but you can prepare for them. Now, we've had a lot of people have sensed the presence of God in this church. We've had people, I've felt my angel behind me sometimes when I preach. His name's Bill, if you're interested. I asked him when he told me his name. I said, why Bill? Why don't I have this really fantastic Greek name or this really unusual name? He says, he was a little bit embarrassed. He said, that's my name. Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to insult you. Bill just kind of seems Bill. He said, well, you got people named Bill today, don't you? Oh, yeah. Said, Ann? Okay, Bill. So, but I felt him behind me sometimes when I'm preaching. And it amazed me that I've had people every now and then see him behind me. And they say, when I raise my arms, his arms go up. When I pace, he's just like paper on my back, just moving right with me. And people have seen him while I'm preaching. We've had three or four people have seen Alexander. Alexander's a church angel. He's a big one. He's a warrior. He's got shield and swords and armor on him. When they see him, his head just comes right to the bottom of the arch there behind me. And several people have seen him, and they've all described him the same way. And they saw him at different times, not all at the same time. Now, I say all this because Yahweh is enthroned or inhabits the praises of Israel. Now, we sang a song, and I thought it was so neat this morning. We sang a song about the mercy seat. Didn't you love that? I mean, the presence of God just really came in. That's just an amazing song. But go with me to Exodus 25, and I'll show you something about all this and try to bring it together. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, I want to start in verse 17. He says, this is instructions to Moses on how to make the mercy seat. And he says, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work, and you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it, 1 piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there at the mercy seat, I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. God's testimony, because it's interesting to me, Exodus only refers to the ark of the testimony. It does not refer to the Ark of the Covenant that is in some of the other books. Exodus only refers to the Ark of the Testimony of what God has done. What is praise? Praise is to thank God for His goodness, for His mercy. Praise is to acknowledge, God, you are wonderful in all of your works. Praise is to acknowledge, God, you've been so good to me, so faithful to me. You, through Jesus Christ, God, of all these things that you've given, God, you've given them to me. This is the testimony. And he says this mercy seat is above the testimony, because the testimony points us toward the mercy seat. It points us toward his grace. When you think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you think about that it was the testimony that God gave to them that showed them the mercy of God. And God had to give them testimony so that they could see the mercy, so that they could receive the covenant of God. Now, Yahweh inhabits praise. Praise enthrones Yahweh or provides a place for him to dwell or sit within, which brings Yahweh's presence. Yahweh meets with us and speaks to us from the mercy seat because I believe that praise creates the mercy seat where God meets with us. And when there is praise in the house of God, when there is praise in our heart, God is preparing to meet with you. And he will sit with you and he will speak with you when we learn how to praise God. Now, if there's no other reason to praise God than that, that's good enough. If it can get me into his presence, if God inhabits the praises that I give to him, I can do that, amen? In 2 Chronicles 5, it says when they dedicated the temple with Solomon, the priests began to come together in one sound, one accord, with one voice, and they began to quote over and over again, He is good, for his mercy endures forever. And they just repeated that, he is good and his mercy endures forever. He is good and his mercy endures forever. He is good and his mercy endures forever. And the cloud of the Lord came and no one could stand to minister. Why? They were building an ark. And God came in, inhabited the praises, inhabited the mercy seat, and his grace was poured out to the people that were there, that were worshiping. Hebrews tells us we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help. Well, when are we to come boldly? Well, if you read the whole verse, it says in time of need. In time of need. We need to praise God in time of need. Now that Debbie and I were talking about not this exact thing, but something similar to this just a day ago, in time of our need, your natural mind will tell you, well, you don't need to do that now because you're in trouble. But your natural mind resists the concept of praising God in a time of need because it's a spiritual concept. And the natural man rejects the spiritual concept. Mm-hmm. Well, why do I need to praise God? Well, you need to praise God because you're in trouble. Well, but when I'm in trouble, I don't feel like praising God. That's why you need to praise God, because you're in trouble. Yeah, but I'll wait till I get through this before I start praising God. No, it's good to do that, but it's good to praise God when you're in trouble. Why? Because praise was designed to still the enemy and the avenger, to halt him, to stop him. Well, if I'm in time of trouble, I need something that's going to fight with me. Or fight for me, something that's going to take my arm. I think the Comforter who comes alongside to give me aid in time of trouble, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's only there in times of trouble, but it means in time of trouble I better learn to call on him because I need him now. When everything's going good, I can just fellowship with him, relax with him, have fun with him, enjoy him, learn from him. But when I'm in trouble, man, I need someone to take hold with me and if possible to put a shield about me and go out before me and destroy my enemies so I can walk in the peace that they've provided. Amen? I need those things. There's another scripture in the Bible says, and this is in Exodus 34:20, that we are not to approach God with empty hands. We are always to bring a sacrifice when we approach God. Always bring a sacrifice. The Bible says several times, no man shall approach me with empty hands. Can't do it. You've got to come to God with a sacrifice. Well, what sacrifice could we bring that would satisfy God? He's got everything. He doesn't need anything. Does he need a bull? Does he need a goat? I mean, does he need my money? What kind of a sacrifice could I bring to God? How about heartfelt praise? I mean, isn't that what he really wants from us? Is for us to acknowledge him in all of our ways? For us to say, thank you, Lord. You are good to me. Thank you, God. You're my help in a time of trouble. Thank you, God, that you're ever present with me. Thank you, Father, that you'll never leave me or forsake me. Thank you, Lord, that you abide with me closer than a brother. Thank you, God. Don't you think that would please God? When your children come to you and say, Dad or Mom, I want to thank you for doing the best that you could for me. I want to thank you for loving me when you probably really wanted to just kill me or ship me out. I thank you for being there for me in the tough times. I thank you for never quitting on me. Do you think that would make a parent proud? You know, I know kids, one of the heartfelt things that kids need is to have their parents say, I'm proud of you. But parents have that heartfelt need to have the kids come back and say, thank you for what you did for me. We all need that. Now, if we need that and want that and it makes us feel good, do you think, I'm just at the remote possibility that would please God to have his children turn back to him and say, thank you, Lord. I appreciate you. I know there's been times, that, Lord, that I felt like you weren't there for me, but I really know you were, and I thank you, Lord, that your word is sure. I thank you, Father, for these things. A couple verses to close with. Psalm 50, 22 and 23 says, now consider this, you who forget God. He's talking to evil people. He says, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. He's speaking to the wicked. And he tells the wicked, whoever offers praise glorifies me. Now, if God will tell that to the wicked, how much more his children? That if we offer praise, it'll glorify God. It'll honor him. It'll build a place, a mercy seat, where God will come and sit to be enthroned on the praises of Israel, that he inhabits our praises, that our praise invites God to come down and fellowship with us and be among us. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us continually do this. This isn't a one-time thing. It's not an up-and-down thing. It's not based on our feelings or emotions. Let us continually offer praise unto God. Well, why? Because he's good. Why? Because I need his presence with me. Why? Just I'm going to be a little bit clamorously foolish and just do it anyway. I'm just going to break out of my barrier a little bit and say, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now, this isn't the end of the service. This isn't the end. Just begin to worship the Lord. Begin to praise him. Begin to give him thanks. Oh, God, we praise you. We thank you, God, for all that you've done. We thank you, Lord, for your benefits. We praise you. If you've never lifted your hands, just lift them a little bit. Just raise them up a little bit. Just be a little bit clamorous. Just lift your hands up a little bit and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kula bahasata da kada marakada. Grana eno kosete mohotata kapare. Gio to shiti miata hatsede. Ida na hata na hata no hotone behata. I sea na hata da kada no na papaparakada. Glory, glory, glory. Kira mahadia do kora. Ina na an yuno hote. Ia siti nide ata na hata no kola bahasi na baha. Oh, God, we glorify you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for healed ankles. We thank you, God, for healing from cancer and from deliverance from these things, God, from every sickness and every disease. God, we praise you, Father, that you inhabit our praises, God, that you're coming to dwell with us right now, God. You are inhabiting our praises, God. We draw on you, God. We draw on you, God. We invite you, Father, into this house, into this place, Father, in the name of Jesus. We invite you, God, to come and dwell and abide among us. Ula bania dieno hote anoda yine na kiata na kaleroko ana kute yes God, yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Father. Praise you, God. Take us to another level, God. Take us to another level. Hola mama kalie boho site e mabaka bania bola maba drene eno kute iano kute ana ine atiana diano koto kira. Yeah, Ore baba mera kore dreni ena hate no hore baha hasan yeno kute I saman yeno hode mahasa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for healing right now. Thank you, God, for deliverance. Thank you, God, for your mercy. 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 Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Your mercy is being poured out. Your mercy, your grace is being poured out right now. Right now, we praise you, God. We praise you, Father. Oh, God, we honor you, God. We praise you. Don't let up. Don't let up. Keep on going. Keep on praising. Keep on thanking. Oh, God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, God. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor, God. You are great. You are great. You are great, God. You are mighty, God. And you pull down every stronghold. You cause every enemy that comes against us to stop in the name of Jesus Christ. To stop the enemy. To stop. To hold him in his tracks. To turn him back. To destroy him. To defeat him. God, you are our redeemer. You're redeeming us, God. You're redeeming us from the curse. You're redeeming us, God, from the law. You're redeeming us, God, from sickness and disease. You've paid the price, God. You've paid the price, and you are redeeming us now, right now, this instant, in Jesus' name. Hola, Baba Kasada. Ira bala mate nyorokote. E ma baniete noto yahasa. Ira nyorokola bala kasada. Ira bala kada borokula ma bakara. Era ma ba ne be ni en ni ata hada ina ma da kala bo satan ina ma ma kala ba da kala re ni ere ya to ne ba ni ya da ka ni ya da kala de no ko to no ho to no ko da ma ma kala ba da ka sana. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, praise you, God. Oh, Father God, we give you praise this morning. We thank you, Father, out of our heart, out of our whole heart, God. We magnify you, God. We exalt you, Father, above all other things, God. Above everything, God. You are God. And every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. Hola babanier kira barakariada. Bronoto o sera mahasa. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory. Yes. Yes, God, glory. Glory to God. Glory to you, to Yahweh. To Yahweh, kola bahasadana kare, ye bahasadana. Oh God, we will praise you. We will praise you, Father. In Jesus' name, God, we will praise you for what you have done for us, God. For what you have done for us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Praise you, Father. Oh, if my people would build a foundation of praise in their life, they would find all the things that oppress them on a daily basis would begin to break. For they would fracture and fall apart. For what you magnify, you invite into your life. And when you magnify your problems, say, oh, I don't praise my problems. Yes, you do. You praise them every time you growl, every time you complain. You're elevating your problem instead of me, saith the Lord. I am the Lord your God who heals you. I am the Lord your God who has redeemed you. I have broken the curse against you. I have set you on a higher ground that no one can take you down from that position. No one, no thing can remove you from my hand, saith God. For I am with you. And I dwell with you. And I will be with those who exalt me in greater measure than those who will not. The day of separation is at hand. The day of those who will come to me voluntarily, for those who come to me and say, we will praise you, God. I will honor them, saith God. And the others will say, well, how come God is blessing you and not me? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, I have perfected, laid a foundation of praise. It's as simple as that, says the Lord. For those who magnify me attract me. Those who lift me up and exalt me, I will lift them up. Those who acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge before men. And those who acknowledge me before angels, I will acknowledge them before angels, saith the Lord. For I am the great God. I am the God who rules over everything. And I will make every knee bow and every tongue confess. And yet I choose to not make you. I choose to give you an opportunity to come before me, to seek my face. For those who seek me, they shall find me, saith the Lord. And I will hug them, and I will be close to them, and I will never let them go, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Father. Well, Lord, we come before you voluntarily to praise you. We praise you, God, by our choice, not because we have to, but God, out of the choice of our will, we will exalt you, O God, in season and out of season. Before men, before angels, we will lift you up. We will praise your name because you are our Savior and our Lord. And we voluntarily submit to you, God, to have your way in us, to make us whole, and to complete us, Father, that we would be filled with the fullness of Christ himself in this earth. And we give you praise for this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone shouted, amen! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Glory to God.